How do you do? This is a show from Radio. We're a group of stations bringing new and forgotten ways of making radio to our listeners. Each week, we give artists the challenge to make radio that works across the whole of Europe and beyond. Artists, get on with it.
Hello, this is Tom Rowe from Free 103.9 and now Pulse WGXC, a 3,300-watt community radio station in upstate New York on 90.7 FM, serving Acre, Catskill, Hudson, and other towns south of Albany. Free 103.9 and WGXC held a fundraiser last summer, a garden party, with several artists doing radio readings. First was artists Max Goldfarb and Brian DeWan, who produced this reading of Velimir Kolebnikov's The Radio of the Future from 1921. Radio of the Future may be the first real conceptualization of transmission art.
The Radio of the Future. The Radio of the Future, the central tree of our consciousness, will inaugurate new ways to cope with our endless undertakings and will unite all mankind. The main radio station, the stronghold of steel, where clouds of wires cluster like strands of hair, will surely be protected by a sign with a skull and crossbones and the familiar word, danger. Since the least disruption of radio operations would produce a mental blackout over the entire country, a temporary loss of consciousness. Radio is becoming the spiritual son of the country, a great wizard and sorcerer. Let us try to imagine radio's main station, in the air a spider's web of lines, a storm cloud of lightning bolts, some subsiding, some flaring up anew, crisscrossing the building from one end to the other. A bright blue ball of spherical lightning hanging in mid-air like a timid bird, guy wires stretched out at a slant. From this point on planet Earth, every day, like the flight of birds in springtime, a flock of news departs, news from the life of the spirit. In this stream of lightning birds, the spirit will prevail over force, good counsel over threats. The activities of artists who work with the pen and brush, the discoveries of artists who work with ideas, Metchnikov, Einstein, will instantly transport mankind to unknown shores. Advice on day-to-day matters will alternate with lectures by those who dwell upon the snowy heights of the human spirit. The crests of waves in the sea of knowledge will roll across the entire country into each local radio station, to be projected that very day as letters onto the dark pages of enormous books, higher than houses, that stand in the center of each town, slowly turning their own pages.
Radio Reading Walls. These books of the streets will be known as Radio Reading Walls. Their giant dimensions frame the settlements and carry out the task of all mankind. Radio has solved the problem that the church itself was unable to solve, and has thus become as necessary to each settlement as a school is, or a library. The problem of celebrating the communion of humanity's one soul, one daily spiritual wave that washes over the entire country every 24 hours, saturating it with a flood of scientific and artistic news, that problem has been solved by radio using lightning as its tool. On the great illuminated books in each town, Radio Today has printed a story by a favorite writer, an essay on the fractional exponents of space, a description of airplane flights, and news about neighboring countries. Everyone can read whatever he chooses. This one book, identical across the entire country, stands in the center of every small town, always surrounded by a ring of readers, a carefully composed silent reading wall in every settlement. But now in black type, news of enormous scientific discovery appears on the screens. A certain chemist, famous within the narrow circle of his followers, has discovered a method for producing meat and bread out of widely available types of clay. A crowd gathers, wondering what will happen next. Earthquakes, fires, disasters, the events of each 24-hour period will be printed out on the radio books. The whole country will be covered with radio stations.
Radio auditoriums. Surges of lightning are picked up and transmitted to the metal mouth of an auto speaker, which converts them into amplified sound, into singing and human speech. The entire settlement has gathered around to listen. The metal trumpet mouth loudly carries the news of the day, the activities of the government, weather information, events from the exciting life of the capital cities. The effect will be like a giant of some kind reading a gigantic journal out loud. But it is only the metal town crier, only the metal mouth of the auto speaker, gravely and distinctly it announces the morning news, beamed to this settlement from the signal tower of the main radio station. But now what follows? Where has this great stream of sound come from, this inundation of the whole country and supernatural singing in the sound of beating wings, this broad silver stream full of whistlings and clangor and marvelous mid-bell surging from somewhere we are not, mingling with children's voices, singing and the sound of wings? Over the center of every town in the country these voices pour down a silver shower of sound. Amazing silver bells mixed with whistlings surge down from above. Are these perhaps the voices of heaven? Spirits flying low over the farmhouse roof? No. The Moose Orgsky of the future is giving a coast-to-coast concert of his work, using the radio apparatus to create a vast concert hall stretching from Vladivostok to the Baltic, beneath the blue dome of the heavens. On this one evening he bewitches the people, sharing with them the communion of his soul, and on the following day he is only an ordinary mortal again. The artist has cast a spell over his land. He has given his country the singing of the sea and the whistling of the wind. The poorest house in the smallest town is filled with divine whistlings and all the sweet delights of sound.
Radio and art exhibits. In a small town far away, a crowd of people gathers today in front of the great illuminated radio screens, which rise up like giant books. Why? Because today radio is using its apparatus to transmit images in color, to allow every little town in the entire country to take part in an exhibit of paintings being held in the capital city. This exhibit is transmitted by means of light impulses repeated in thousands of mirrors at every radio station. If radio previously acted as the universal ear, now it has become a pair of eyes that annihilate distance. The main radio signal tower emits its rays, and from Moscow an exhibit of the best painters bursts into flower on the reading walls of every small town in this enormous country, on loan to every inhabited spot on the map.
Radio clubs. Let's move up closer. Majestic skyscrapers wrapped in clouds, a game of chess between two people located at opposite ends of the planet Earth, an animated conversation between someone in America and someone in Europe. Now the reading walls grow dark, suddenly the sound of a distant voice is heard singing, the metallic throat of radio, beams the rays of the song to its many metallic singers, metal sings, and its words, brought forth in silence and solitude, and their welling springs, become a communion shared by the entire country. More obedient than strings beneath the violinist's hand, the metallic apparatus of radio will talk and sing, obeying every marked pulse of the song. Every settlement will have listening devices and metallic voices to serve one sense, metallic eyes to serve the other.
The Great Sorcerer. Finally, we will have learned to transmit the sense of taste, and every simple, plain but healthful meal can be transformed by means of taste dreams carried by radio rays, creating the illusion of a totally different taste sensation. People will drink water, and imagine it to be wine. A simple, ample meal will wear the guise of a luxurious feast. And thus, will radio acquire an even greater power over the minds of the nation. In the future, even odors will obey the will of radio. In the dead of winter, the honey scent of linden trees will mingle with the odor of snow, a true gift of radio to the nation. Doctors today can treat patients long distance through hypnotic suggestion. Radio in the future will be able to act also as a doctor, healing patients without medicine. And even more, it is a known fact that certain notes like la and t are able to increase muscular capacity, sometimes as much as 64 times, since they thicken the muscle for a certain length of time. During periods of intense hard work like summer harvest time, or during the construction of great buildings, these sounds can be broadcast by radio over the entire country, increasing its collective strength enormously. And, finally, the organization of popular education will pass into the hands of radio. The Supreme Soviet of Sciences will broadcast lessons and lectures to all the schools of the country, higher institutions as well as lower. The teacher will become merely a monitor while these lectures are in progress. The daily transmissions of lessons and textbooks through the sky into the country schools of the nation, the unification of its consciousness into a single will. Thus will radio forge continuous links in the universal soul and mold mankind into a single entity. The radio of the future.
Allison Knowles also performed at the Garden Party fundraiser, and Allison Knowles is a visual artist known for her sound works, installations, performances, and books. She was a founding member of Fluxus, and recently Knowles offered her iconic performance, The Identical Lunch, to museum visitors as part of the Museum of Modern Art's performance exhibition series. On the occasion of the Summer Garden fundraiser party for Free 103.9 and WGXC, Allison Knowles performed one of her bean turners, constructed from beans and paper. Bean turners are both book pages and sonic instruments.
Men and women commonly dress alike. When storms are seen coming in underground. Men and women commonly dress alike. When storms are seen coming in over the hills and through the trees. Men and women commonly dress alike with clear skies all week overhead. Men and women commonly dress alike when torrential rains expected by nightfall underground. Men and women commonly dress alike when snow blizzards are predicted in a place with rocks and sand good for walking. Small birds and flowers are ubiquitous, with clear skies all week, in a place where everyone plays outdoors. Wealth is exposed for its family connections, with clear skies all week, on a peninsula with the ocean on one side and the bay on the other. Work is not central to daily activity when torrential rain is expected by nightfall over the hills and through the woods. Pigs are allowed to roam free when snow blizzards are predicted on a peninsula, with the ocean on one side and the bay on the other. The underworld and the overworld never touch when torrential rain is expected by nightfall on a peninsula with the ocean on one side and the bay on the other. Old men gather in groups to discuss the weather with clear skies all week in a place with rocks and sand good for walking. Real information is everywhere available, but of little interest with fierce wind and bitter cold in France. I'd just like to say about this poem that I didn't really put it together, that I sent it to a friend, Cornelia Lau, who published a book called Clear Skies All Week, which had simply four lists of possibilities to be randomized, and this is what I got.
At the same Summer Garden Party, acclaimed film and stage actor Hugh Dancy performed F.T. Marinetti and Pino Masnada's La Radia, 1933, a visionary text, if one that reveals the author's proclivity for fascism. The radio asserts that the radio must not be what the radio abolishes and what the radio will be.
The following is a recording / performance by actor Hugh Dancy, which took place on June 12, 2011, at a WGXC benefit event in Ingram, Columbia County. Dancy reads F.T. Marinetti and Pino Masnada's La Radia from 1933, a key futurist text. Hugh Dancy is an acclaimed actor with a wide array of film and stage roles. Most recently, he appears in the film Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene, a breakout hit at this year's Sundance Film Festival, and he's just completed his work on season 2 of the Showtime series, The Big C. Hugh and his wife, Claire Danes, have been residents in Columbia County since 2009, and we're grateful for their support. And now, the reading.
This is Marinetti and Masnate's futurist thoughts about the radio. Marinetti was a kind of father of futurism, and it's worth mentioning, I think, in light of this reading, that he went on to become a fascist activist. La radio must not be, one, theatre, because radio has killed the theatre already, defeated by sound drama. Two, cinema, because cinema is dying. A, from rancid sentimentalism of subject matter. B, from realism that involves even certain simultaneous syntheses. C, from infinite technical complications. D, from fatal banalizing collaborationism. E, from reflected brilliance inferior to the self-emitted brilliance of radio television. 3, books. Because the book, which is guilty of having made humanity myopic, implies something heavy, strangled, stifled, fossilized, and frozen. Only the great three-word tableau shall live, the only poetry that needs to be seen. La radio abolishes, one, the space and stage necessary to theatre, including futurist synthetic theatre, action unfolding on a fixed and constant stage, and to cinema, actions unfolding on very rapid, variable, simultaneous, and always realistic stages. Two, time. Three, unity of action. Four, dramatic character. Five, the audience as self-appointed, judging, mass, systematically hostile and servile, always against the new, always retrograde. La radio shall be, one, freedom from all point of contact with literary and artistic tradition. Any attempt to link la radio with tradition is grotesque. Two, a new art that begins where theatre, cinema, and narrative end. Three, the emancipation of space. No longer visible and frameable, the stage becomes universal and cosmic. Four, the reception, amplification, and transfiguration of vibrations emitted by living beings, living or dead spirits, dramas of wordless noise states. Five, the reception, amplification, and transfiguration of vibrations emitted by matter. Just as today we listen to the song of the forest and the sea, so tomorrow shall we be seduced by the vibrations of a diamond or a flower. Six, a pure organism of radio sensations. Seven, an art without time or space, without yesterday or tomorrow. The possibility of receiving broadcast stations situated in various time zones and the lack of light will destroy the hours of the day and night. The reception and amplification of the light and the voices of the past with thermionic valves will destroy time. Eight, the synthesis of infinite simultaneous actions. Nine, human, universal, and cosmic art as voice, with a true psychology spirituality of the sounds of the voice and silence. 10. The characteristic life of every noise and the infinite variety of concrete, abstract, and real dreamt through the agency of a people of noises. 11. Struggles of noise and of various distances that is spatial drama joined with temporal drama. 12. Word in freedom. The word has gradually developed into a collaborator of mime and gesture. The word must be recharged with all its power, hence an essential and totalitarian word, which in futurist theory is called word atmosphere. Words in freedom, children of the aesthetics of machines, contain an orchestra of noises and noise chords, realistic and abstract, which alone can aid the coloured and plastic word in the lightning-fast representation of what is not seen. If he does not wish to resort to words in freedom, the radiast must express himself in that free word style, which is already widespread in avant-garde novels and newspapers that typically use swift, quick, synthetic, simultaneous free word style. 13. Isolated word repetitions of verbs in the infinitive. 14. Essential art. 15. Gastronomic, amorous, gymnastic, etc. music. 16. The utilization of noises, sounds, chords, harmonies, musical or noise simultaneities of silence, all with their graduations of arpeggiatura, crescendo, and decrescendo, which will become strange brushes for painting, delimiting, and coloring the infinite darkness of La Radia by giving squareness roundness. Spheric, in short. 17. The utilization of interference between stations and of the birth and evanescence of the sounds. 18. The delimitation and geometric construction of silence. 19. The utilization of the various resonances of voice or sound in order to give a sense of the size of the place in which the voice is uttered. The characterization of the silent as semi-silent atmosphere that surrounds and colors a given voice, sound, or noise. 20. The elimination of the concept or the illusion of an audience, which has always had, even for books, a deforming and damaging influence.
All right.
Thanks for tuning in to Free 103.9 and WGXC on the Radio Network. And you can go to free103.9.org or wgxc.org for more information about any of the artists or works you heard on this show.